Welcome everybody into the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick, and we are welcoming back two very happy Washington Nationals fans.
Your boy Ryan Records back on the mic.
And World Series champion Jimmy Seatman.
How are you guys feeling right now?
Feeling awesome. Feeling awesome.
Feeling like a champion?
Yes, sir. Went to the parade on Saturday. A lot of people, a lot of fun. It's just kind of an unreal feeling, especially for where they were. But, you know, how they won in Game 7 kind of feels like how they had to win with how the season went.
It definitely epitomized their season, for sure. How about you, Mr. Ryan Record? A long time since you've been here.
I know. And I had the privilege of catching that last series of the season with you when they played the Indians.
Yeah, that was fun.
I never thought they'd make it past the first round. But alas, here we are. Nats are World Series champs. It feels surreal, man. I never thought this day would come. I am so proud of them.
It is crazy to think about how I think where they win like 8 of their last 9 in the regular season. And so like where they were at that point getting hot and then how hot they were in the playoffs. It's really incredible what they did, especially, you know, everyone's heard it starting off 19-31.
Yeah.
And to where, I mean, that's the...
They were the fourth worst team in baseball record-wise at that point.
And through 50 games, they overcame the biggest deficit for any World Series winner. So it's unreal, but, you know, it's definitely, it was a ton of fun.
Thoughts on Game 7? I mean, what a game. Astros jump out to that early lead. They get one back, and then Howie things with the two-run homer.
Man, it's clutch.
And then you add on three more, and then the champions. But what I take away from it is, how do you not use Gerrit Cole?
Absolutely. That was a boneheaded decision. And why did they pull Greinke after only, what, like 80 pitches through 7?
That surprised me, too.
I thought they were always going to pull Greinke early because he hadn't gone that far in any of his starts. And as far as when the Nationals first took the lead, they weren't going to bring Gerrit Cole on in the middle of an inning or with runners on.
Why not, though?
I think that's just kind of, for a lot of starters, it's kind of like a big no-no. They want them to start. For a guy who's never pitched out of the bullpen in his lifetime, basically.
Yeah, he's only had one bullpen appearance in college.
Yeah, you know, I mean, so basically someone who hasn't really ever done it. I mean, I think they should have at least used him. I think it would have been to start the eighth inning. They ended up using Ozuna, and I couldn't believe, actually, the biggest thing is they let Ozuna pitch 38 pitches. Like, I mean, that was like the big thing to me is like, okay, if you're not going to use Cole, I kind of understand that, because sometimes we think that these guys are just going to come in and dominate, but we've had cases over the years where starters come in off the bullpen and
of
don't
course,
do great.
Absolutely.
But it's just like to stick with Ozuna as long as they did. And then, you know, to never use Gerrit Cole, I don't like it because I wouldn't have wanted to go down without one
that's
of my best
pitchers. That's my point.
Like in a game,
that's
so this
exactly
is kind of like
point.
The Orioles with Zach Britton a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't get any extra bonus points for saving them. You know, it is the last game of the year. But at the end of the day, I think that seventh inning was huge because, you know, in the sixth inning, I actually was watching somewhere else. Went back home and I was like kind of almost not accepting defeat, but it was kind of like, this isn't looking good. And then in the blink of an eye, the game had turned completely. I was just a Rendon home. I mean, for three batters in a row, Rendon home run, a Soto walk, which was huge.
Yeah.
You think like, oh, maybe he's going to try to go back to back.
And that's when they pulled Greinke, as a matter of fact.
And that's when they pulled Greinke. And then Will Harris, who had been a really good reliever all year long, but I mean, he had been used like 13, 14 times in the postseason. I think he was just running out of gas. So, and that inning was huge. And then kind of from there, it just kind of felt surreal.
It spiraled from there.
Yeah, it felt, and when they went up 6-2, like they go up 4-2, you're like, oh, that's like a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
And then it's 6-2 and you're like, you know, they're going
to
win
this.
You
don't even know what to think at that point.
Patrick Corbin's three innings, like, I almost thought they were going to keep him in for another one and kind of do what Charlie Morton did 2 years ago for the Astros. So it was...
You're telling me you did not want to see Fernando Rodney?
Oh, of course not.
I mean...
It wasn't so much that the Nats won that game. As much as I want to say that, it's almost like the Astros lost that game because of their managing mishaps. I don't understand why they don't go to Cole in the middle of the inning there. That guy was gassed up and ready to come in and shut the door.
That's my thing. Yes, you are 110% correct about routines.
Was he warming at that point?
Yeah, he was fully warmed up.
He was warming at that point. You're 100% right about the starters being uncomfortable coming in middle innings with relievers on and starters getting lit up. My thing is, you want to go down with your best players.
Well, and here's the other thing.
And the game
wasn't the game wasn't lost when it was 3-2. So I think at least in the eighth inning, we've seen managers adjust over the years that they'll use their best pitchers down a run or two because you want to keep that deficit at one run.
Right.
And so that's when I would have easily brought Gerrit Cole in. But no, it would have bothered me in a way on Astros' hand. If you remember the beginning of the game, the Astros had runners on in every inning in the first six innings. And they had two
sweating.
Runners on in five out of those six innings.
They had all the opportunities in the world on offense.
And really, it was just...
A couple Correa strikeouts, by the way. Just want to throw
but
that
Correa
in.
Also had one of the big hits, too.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
You know, and Scherzer had three swing and misses through five innings. I mean, we're talking about he did not have anything.
And that's not his game. His fastball was on, but you could tell he was hurting. And apparently he gave him a shot, like, in
his spinal cord.
Cortisone shot to help with that. But his fastball was live, but his breaking pitches weren't breaking like they usually do.
No.
And they were just hitting him.
They were making contact, which is extremely hard because, you know, the more you can put the ball in play, the more chances you have. I mean, that Correa hit, I mean, that was just so close to being an out. And so, for where they were, but it was a testament to their whole season. I think, and I told one of my friends, if they were going to win, they were going to be down in the fifth or sixth inning, and then they were going to come back. And the thing is I heard someone say this, and this was true, even before they were 1931 came back, when they were in that stretch where they were struggling, they were constantly coming back in games at that point. Their relievers would then just blow it again.
Right.
And so they were doing this all season long. They were the best team in the majors at scoring in the seventh inning or later in all of baseball.
Yeah, they had that fight in them, but they also had Trevor Rosenthal at the time.
Yeah, you know.
What a scrub.
It's also a testament to...
At least he throws hard.
And Sebastian will love this. I think Davey Martinez, who...
Thank you! Oh, man, this is beautiful. Yeah. My man needs to get some love, Davey Martinez.
Give Davey Martinez some love.
He is a top 10 manager in baseball, no doubt about it.
He managed every game like it was game seven, and they got to this point with six pitchers. I mean, maybe seven if you include the fact that Tanner Rainey had a couple of decent appearances in bigger games. But yeah, I mean, they just, it also goes to show you that in a shorter series, you can kind of just grind it out as much as you can. And for him knowing when to use starters out of relief and when not to, and they won on the back of star power. This is not a deep team,
yeah.
Especially, you know, by any means. But when you're talking about this, they weren't trying to win over an 162 game season. They were trying to win a 5-game series or a 7-game series. So Davey Martinez, you know, managed his butt off.
He changed the culture of that locker room seemingly over the course of this season. You know, they Bryce Harper. They were like, oh, this team is a shadow of its former self. At the trade deadline, they're talking about, oh, they're going to trade Stras and Rendon. But now these guys won the World Series, and this offseason they're going to command some huge contracts.
His players fought for him, and that's all you can ask for really as a manager.
Exactly.
That you give all your 100%. And yeah, that was going to be the next angle. The final angle we take in this is Rendon and Strasburg. Will they both be Nationals next season?
I actually think so. Because I think you have to look at the market for each player, and then ask yourselves, who's going to spend big on these players? Who's going to be in the market to spend $200 million on a third baseman? And
I'm thinking there's going to be an influx of that, man.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, I think Strasburg is probably, I don't want to say like guaranteed, but I think with reports, he's like 85% chance he's going to be back as a National. And with Rendon, it's just. I know he kind of reminds me of the same personality as Strasburg, a guy who doesn't like change. He's even talked about how he would rather almost take a shorter deal with bigger annual value. I think they'll both bring him back. I think it'll maybe affect the rest of their offseason and where they spend.
Exactly.
You know,
will they trade Doolittle?
No, because he's the only good reliever on the contract right now.
Who are they going to trade that's got big money?
Well, see, they can bring back Strasburg and Rendon and still stay under the luxury tax. The problem is going to be I think if they bring those two back, they're going to maybe try to fill out the rest of the roster on the fringes.
Yeah, so Howie will be gone.
Yeah, you know, like I think Howie's going to go to an AL team. They're probably going to try to rely more on the Joe Rosses.
Hello, we need a second baseman. Hello, Cleveland Indians.
You want a guy that doesn't play any defense? This guy's a DH at this point in his career. His age, 37
seasons.
Well,
I will say this. In the regular season.
We had a second baseman that played no defense and had no offense. And made $12 million dollars in the process.
He does seem like an Indians type player. But yeah, I actually, if I had to bet my life on it, I'd say both of them will be back. But I would be much more confident in Strasburg.
How about you, Ryan Record? Strasburg and Rendon, are they both Nationals next year?
Optimistically, I want to side with Jimmy and say yes. But I think, unfortunately, the Nats are only going to be able to keep one of the two. And I think it's going to be Rendon. Because if you look at the Nats minor league system right now, other than Carter Kieboom, it is void of pretty much any talent.
Yeah.
And they need a third baseman that can come in and, you know, be their three-hole hitter like Rendon has done all year. The guy had a .330 average. He led the league in RBIs. This is their player for the future. And I think as much as they'd want to keep Stross, I can see Stross going back home to San Diego, shoring up that Padres rotation.
I actually kind of don't. I think sometimes we overvalue a player going back home. I think a lot of times guys don't want to go back home for the pressures that it brings. But if you gave me a choice and I had to only pick one, I would actually pick Rendon, because I think position players are less likely to have that huge fall off at the end of the day. But if I think they only pick one, I do disagree with you.
I'm going to take the other angle. I think they're going to keep Strasburg, and I think that Rendon's going to go, because I think Rendon, they're going to do their absolute hardest to keep him, both. I think Rendon's going to get $285 million.
I think so,
in
too.
A contract. And I think there's a team in Chicago.
You think the Chicago Cubs or the White Sox?
The White Sox.
The White Sox. The White Sox.
The White Sox.
Do you know what the biggest contract they've ever had is?
Well, they have plenty of money.
Do you know what
spend.
It is? I want you.
Well, they offered Manny Machado $275 million this past offseason, Jimmy.
And they offered him $220. But, okay.
And that
wasn't
$275. It was literally in a written report. $275.
Anyways. The biggest contract they've ever had on their books was Jose Abreu's 6-year, $68 million contract. You think they are going to offer him four times more?
Yes, I do.
Than the biggest. I actually think the two teams that I think are the biggest players for him are the Texas Rangers.
Yes.
I think that's the
second-place
team.
Ballpark. They talk about money to spend.
Yes.
They got money to spend. And if you're Anthony Rendon, you can maybe take a little bit less because you don't have state income tax there. You know?
But that's if you want to talk about your home, and I know he's from Houston, but still, Texas is.
But yeah, no, and you have, but I think you're talking about a team that has money to spend, that has also showed willingness to spend in the past, and then also I think the Los Angeles Angels are another team that makes sense.
Yes,
and the third team
I
on
think
that
that's
list,
the team that gets
I don't
hysterical.
Think they're going to prioritize them, but I could see it happening because I think they're going to go after pitching. Is another team who still has money to spend. That's the Philadelphia Phillies. Who need a third baseman?
How funny would that be to see Bryce Harper and Anthony Rendon back and
I will say this,
as teammates?
If I'm the Nationals, you know, people were mad when Bryce Harper left. If Anthony Rendon leaves for anything reasonable, right? You know, and here's the thing: at the end of the day, the Nationals are one of the top 10 teams in revenue in the MLB, and they got even more revenue from this World Series. Well, they can afford to keep both of them. At the end of the day. And I think they should, because I think these are two guys you want at the end of the day to have their names up in your stadium.
Absolutely. And I agree with this short-term outlook for both of them. I can see him signing three, four-year deals, maybe with player option at the end of it.
I could just see Strasburg. I think he was making 25 a year. I could see him just getting years added onto that. Just because there are teams that are concerned about. He's had Tommy John. He's 31 years old. He's not 28 like Garrett Cole. He's, you know, so... We'll see, but I mean, I think they should try to keep both of these guys. I mean, because at the end of the day, after them, it comes 2 or 3 years before the Nationals have anyone they really got to re-sign. So, you know, if you're not going to re-sign these guys, you know, at this point, then what are you spending your money toward? I mean, you know, so, and at the end of the day, I think the Nationals may actually have to take a little bit of a dip back because they're going to have to reset their minor league system. At the end of the day, I want these two guys here, even if the end of their contracts aren't pretty. I mean, look at the love Ryan Zimmerman has gotten. Ryan Zimmerman has not been a good player the last 3 or 4 years, and mostly because of availability. But I want Anthony Rendon and Steven Strasburg to have something like that, because these are two of the guys who really changed the fortunes of these franchises.
Yeah. Exactly.
And at the end of the day, like, you know, they've probably been underpaid at this point in their career. Give them a little bit of an overpay and let them finish their career with the Nationals. And maybe that's sentimental. Maybe that's not the analytical thing to do. But that's what I hope happens, because those guys are really important.
Be very interesting to see what happens off season. Go to a broader perspective now. Winners and losers of the MLB season. You can have players or teams. Winners and losers. We'll start off with winners. We'll keep a good vibe. Jimmy, who's your other? Obviously, we all know the Nationals are the big winners because you're with the World Series champions. Is there like a minor winner who had a good season that they could build off of?
I think I look both the Rays and the A's. Both have, you know, they both have a young core that they're going into with. Both kind of have taken advantage of the fact that half of the American League is just not trying. And the Rays were, I mean, we forget, they're, you know, it seems like a long time ago, they were one game away from beating the Astros in the series, and they're competing with the Yankees and the Red Sox every single year, and then the A's as well are competing in a division, especially this offseason, you know, where the Angels and the Rangers look to spend more. I think both of these small market teams who are just simply trying to win in an era where like 10 teams are tanking at this point, I give credit to them. So they're my winners because, yeah.
My big winner would have to be Gerrit Cole at the end of the day. That guy is clearly the prize horse of the free agent market this year, and he's going to get a huge deal. A lot of people are speculating he's going to L.A., and I can totally see that happening. And especially after that tweet that he sent after the World Series game, man.
Yeah, I think.
Did you see that after the World Series, he put on a Scott Boras hat?
Yeah. That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. My winner has to be the Minnesota Twins. They took over the AL Central division. Whether they can sustain it is another question.
They need pitching.
Because I don't think it's not even going to be the Indians who I'm concerned about sustaining them. It's the White Sox.
Well, here's the one thing about the Twins. They have more payroll flexibility this going to this offseason than they've had in a while.
Scary.
They're going to have to be willing to spend because it's a team that has had kind of a cap. And I think if they want to sustain it, they're going to because they basically have like one starting pitcher in the rotation right now.
I know.
Yeah.
They have a decent bullpen.
Odorizzi is a free agent. Perez is a free agent. Other guy, Kyle Gibson's a free agent. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Very interesting to see what they do.
Yeah.
Loser.
I have two. I have the Chicago Cubs. I think they have a lot of decisions to make this offseason, and I think they want to put all of the blame on Joe Maddon, but I don't think it's necessarily that. I think this is a team that's been flawed in the way they've been constructed, and they have a poor minor league system, and this is a team that was constructed to win now, and they weren't able to do that. And I think I also think the Cleveland Indians are one, and I told you this is offseason. You know, if they had been willing to put forth to have a major league outfield in the beginning of the season, they probably at least make the wild card game, and who knows, maybe they're competing with the Astros trying to beat them. I don't know. I thought, and you know, everyone's like, oh, but they were able to do it at the trade deadline. It's like, well, that was, you know, four months into the season. So those are probably my two losers, because those are teams I expected to make the playoffs that did not.
My two losers would have to be, first and foremost, the defending champs, the Boston Red Sox. They looked atrocious this year.
Your World Series prediction to begin the year, Ryan.
You're right. I predicted them to go all the way to the series, and clearly I was wrong because they have that World Series hangover once again. And we'll see if they recover. You know, they normally have a good bounce back year, and they still have a solid core in place. So
horrible bullpen, though. Big question mark. I doubt they keep both Mookie and J.D. Martinez.
Well, I was going to say, do they trade Mookie Betts? I think that would be ridiculous.
I think it would be too, but
they'd
the problem is
they
are all about saving money,
which is terrible.
So,
like, I just
I and your other loser
would have to be Bryce Harper. He's sitting at home this offseason crying, crybaby Bryce. He shouldn't have left DC, man. Clearly, he's a locker room problem. He's a culture problem, dude. That Phillies like their roster. Everybody was so hyped on them coming into the year, and I know they had their fair share of injuries throughout the season.
Yeah, you could say
that. But people predicted them, you know, they got off to a red-hot start. They're like, oh, this team's winning 100 games. They're going all the way. And they just fell apart. And Bryce didn't have – he had a solid year, but like I said, I think he's a locker room problem, and that's why they ended up not making it.
So you took my loser, the Red Sox. I think the Red Sox are the biggest losers. Obviously, I think the Indians are losers. I don't need to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the Colorado Rockies.
Yes.
Talk about a loser franchise.
Also a
loser
team,
franchise.
That was a team
that
I predicted.
Dropped off with, in my opinion, the most overrated manager in baseball. He has overtaken Scott Service as the most overrated manager in baseball,
Black.
Bud Black.
I wouldn't say that.
I don't like the way he manages the game at all. His bench coach is not much better. Mike Redmond, former Marlins manager.
I think
they are pitching. Obviously, it's hard to do in Coors Field. We get that. But it took a big drop. Their hitting took a drop as well.
I think
LeMahieu killed them.
100%. I think they overperformed the year before.
Well, then they overperformed the year before that year as well.
I think last year they had a negative run differential and they were a 91 team. So, I mean, and the problem is this year, I mean, you looked at the roster going into it, they had basically two good hitters.
Yeah.
They had Arenado and they had Story, and they were banking on a lot of their pitchers coming back having the same career year, and pretty much everybody on their team regressed to the mean. Like, I mean, I don't know if you could have like thought that all, you know, Gray, Marquez, and Freeland were all going to have sub-4 ERAs again. And then their bullpen is just atrocious, and they've spent so much money on their bullpen. I mean, they basically are capped out as a team. They can't improve themselves because they have horrible contract after horrible contract.
And that bullpen, yep. And my other loser, it's kind of obvious, the Detroit Tigers, just because y'all flat-out stink, and you're not going to be good anytime soon. Last thing before we switch to football, thoughts on Carlos Beltran to the New York Mets?
Kind of reeks of the same reason they hired Brody Van Wagenen. Like, kind of a guy that, I mean, what's his face? Gerardo Perez, who had an interview there, basically was like, you know, they wanted me to be a puppet, basically.
And yeah.
He didn't want to do that. I mean, here's the thing with Carlos Beltran. I'm not saying he won't work out. He's never even been a coach before. He's never been a manager before. And this is a team that's focusing on winning now so much. Everything they've done has screamed winning now. And they have a GM who has no experience and a manager who has no experience. And Carlos Beltran could be a great people person. He probably is, and he probably will be good for a locker room. But they're going to need to put people around him who know what they're doing.
Right.
Terry Collins is likely to be his bench coach, Met manager who took them to the World Series.
I just think if I was a Mets fan, I would be disappointed in the process. Because, again, it also feels like one of those things where the team is so focused on getting someone who was a former part of the organization. It's kind of like for years the Lakers would only hire people who had Lakers connections. It's just like, just get the best guy. And so I don't know. I wouldn't be happy about it as a Mets fan, but we'll see. At the end of the day, the Mets are going to be good if their best players play like their best players, and it's not going to matter who their manager is.
I thought it was kind of like a media stunt. I mean, I'm still chewing on it, trying to swallow it, and I just don't understand it. Like you said, they're all very much, you know, rookies coming into it, in a major league team. They don't know what they're doing, and I think the Mets are going to regress big time.
I agree. I think I'm going to make it unanimous here. I do not like the hiring. I think Beltran is a great people person. I don't think he has good managerial skills in terms of making indecisions. Mm-hmm. And I think they did my boy Mickey Callaway dirty, so I'd probably say the same thing regardless.
And I think they always put so much on Mickey Callaway. I don't think Mickey Callaway was the reason why a lot of the problems they have is the fact that they have a roster that's poorly constructed. And they had this offseason where they went all in, and they didn't get results out of it. And the big problem is I don't see them spending a lot in free agency this year or really, you know, so are you just going to further deplete your minor league system at this point to try to win now and add more older players? So I think, you know, 2 years ago, I understand they had a little bit of a run at one point, but I think 2 years ago after DeGrom won the Cy Young, I think they should have traded him. I think they should be thinking to flip Noah Syndergaard, not trying to keep him. Same thing with Marcus Stroman too. I mean, they just have made a lot of moves that haven't made a lot of sense, and they're trying to keep up with the Nationals and the Braves. And especially when you look at the Braves and how young they are and how they're going to get better. And I think the Phillies are definitely a better team moving forward right now too. Yeah. They have more payroll flexibility and a younger roster. I think the Mets should be looking to rebuild. And so I hope this doesn't reflect too poorly on Carlos Beltran, because I don't know if we're going to get a fair look at him.
Yeah. True. We agree on that. We wish him the best, obviously. We'll see how that works out. Let's talk some football. Let's start off with Thursday night, as always. The San Francisco 49ers are the last undefeated team. Who would have thought of that, by the way? They win 28-25 in a very close one with the Arizona Cardinals. Jimmy Garoppolo, 4 passing touchdowns, most for a 49ers quarterback since week 15 in 2012. So that was a little nugget I dug up there. Thoughts on the 49ers?
Wow. Got to give it up for Kyle Shanahan and also some of like the low-key moves they've made so far. I think they're a scary team going forward, but I think this hype train will burn down by the time playoff time comes around and you see a stronger team like Seattle knock them out.
Why?
Because he hasn't been there before. Not in a long time, at least, Kyle Shanahan. But they do have loads of talent, man. They have a great run game and a lot of depth. So I think they have good of a shot as anybody, but I'm not sold just yet.
Do you agree or disagree with Ryan Reckert?
They aren't my favorites by any means, but I start believing in them a little more. I mean, I think this Monday night is going to be huge for whether or not. Because I think
that will be a pick'em, by the way.
To me, I think, and it's hard with Seattle because they could end up being a wild card team, but I think Seattle is almost the team to beat in the NFC with how good Russell Wilson is playing. I mean, you got to give up to the 49ers. It seems like a lot of moves that they've made. I mean, just the constant adding to the defensive line has finally paid off, especially with D Ford and Nick Bosa, who's probably not only the defensive rookie of the year, but probably also the defensive player of the year.
Yep.
And you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, I'm not a huge QB wins guy, but what is he, like 16-2 in starts as a quarterback? And Kyle Shanahan, I mean, we saw it in Atlanta when he took them to the Super Bowl. He had a really good run. He had a really good season with the Browns.
He made Brian Hoyer look like a top 15 quarterback.
You know, and so there were people. I think he had, you know, 2 losing seasons this first year. There were people that were calling for his job, and I don't think he had a fair shake. But yeah, they're an impressive team, and the reason they're here is their defense is really impressive. I mean, it's just kind of the last 2 weeks has it been that the 49ers offense has gotten going, but. No, they have, and getting Emmanuel Sanders as well.
Right.
He's helped out them out. So, I mean, at this point, here's the thing. At minimum, they're going to probably make the playoffs, which is something they haven't done, you know, in 5 years.
Oh, so, they're a lock.
So, yeah, and so at the end of the day, I don't think they're going to go undefeated, obviously, but you start off 8-0, you leave a lot of room for error.
Right. I mean, they have to go 2-6 in their end, because 10-6 will get you in.
Yeah.
I think the 49ers are a lock to win the NFC West. I'm willing to say that.
I think it's too early to say that.
I feel very confident in saying that. I think their defense, as they had a little bit of a blip against Arizona, but they are obviously playing lights out. I think that's the best defense in football. I think the Emmanuel Sanders addition opens up the field tremendously for the 49ers' power run game, and I think that is a super underrated aspect. Tevin Coleman is balling out, and that offensive line is getting some help coming up. Joe Staley is coming back soon. They could put McGlinchey back at right tackle. They got a very deep offensive line. They got a very deep team. Jimmy Garoppolo, he's not asked to do too much. He's just asked to manage the game.
Blaine is the biggest.
Oh, yeah. Blaine loves Jimmy Garoppolo, by the way. He thinks he's a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Also, just one more thing. I think George Kittle is probably the best tight end in football right now.
He's performed extremely well. I mean, I can't hate on that.
I remember him watching him in college and just being really surprised that he fell to the 5th round.
Yeah.
I thought he was just as, like, I don't, you know, I'm not a scout, but I thought he was just as good as like how T.J. Hockenson was in college. I mean, like really productive Iowa tight end.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, to see what he's doing now, I mean, he's incredible.
Yeah, it's a great story too. Good for San Francisco. You want to talk about your Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yeah, sure.
They got absolutely embarrassed in London, 26-3 to the Houston Texans. This is going to make you angry. The Texans are 10-2 versus the Jaguars in the Bill O'Brien era. That's since 2014. They are 10-2 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars, after the game, announced Gardner Minshew has been benched for Nick Foles, who is returning from the injured reserve.
Well, you're paying him to be your starter.
Don't tell Jimmy that. Jimmy is not a happy camper.
I don't say I'm not happy. I've had so the problem is I think and a lot of people said, well, if Minshew would have played well in this one game, that they wouldn't have benched him. I think if you're using one game to evaluate somebody, I think that's a poor thing if that was actually their evaluation. But this has been a top 10 offense in the league with Minshew. He had a bad game, probably his worst game of the season. It didn't help. But at the end of the day, I just think bringing in what's probably going to be a rusty Nick Foles, not this week, but the next week when they play the Indianapolis Colts, was basically their season.
We debated this. I think he had three of his last four games have been poor. I think the New Orleans one in week six was
New Orleans and the Texans games were his two bad games.
And I get he was okay at Cincinnati, but it's Cincinnati. You should be throwing for more than 255 yards and a touchdown.
Well, the big thing in that game was that they had two red zone opportunities that they didn't convert, and that wasn't Minshew's fault. I think the Saints and the Texans games were clearly his worst games. But we're also he would be the rookie of the year if the offensive rookie of the year if the season ended today. And so by that standard, he's been playing really well. Like I said,
he'd be offensive rookie of the year over Kyler Murray.
He has better numbers than Kyler Murray.
The
thing is, the offense hasn't been the problem for this team, except for again against the Texans. And so, I don't know. I mean, look, if Nick Foles comes in and plays well, you know that's good and all. But it's one of those things where, do you think if they win against the Texans, you feel the same way that they're 5-4 and they're in the hunt?
Oh, then you have the quarterback. I mean,
I don't think one game should be the decision.
I understand, but
yeah.
I don't want to say that one poor game makes the decision, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think from momentum's sake, if he did well, I mean, if they won against Houston, obviously you have to go with Minshew. And I get what you're saying, but I still don't think that one game necessarily made the It did, but it didn't, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a hard decision to make, right? I don't think they just, like, woke up and were like, you know, Nick Foles. But, you know, everyone's like, oh, well, Nick Foles is going to do the same thing he did with the Eagles. Well, that was an 11-2 Eagles team. That was a really, really, really good team. So, I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, I actually have a feeling that Nick Foles is going to play, and then we're going to see Minshew again at the end of the season.
Really?
When they're out of it.
You think they're going to bench him?
I think when they're out of it, yeah. I mean, because in all honesty,
that's
like
a nice spending of $94 million right there.
Oh, it was 88, but I at the time I wasn't a fan of the signing. So
yes, you were. Yeah, that's correct.
You know, so we'll see. Obviously, and maybe it works out for them. Maybe they get some Nick Foles magic on along the way. But yeah, I have a feeling that they're gonna probably lose against the Colts. The next game they play, and they're going to be 4-6, and that's going to be their season. So yeah.
One thing's for sure, they got a heck of a pick with Gardner Minshew in the late rounds. That I was really hoping the Redskins would get him, but you know, we got Dwayne Haskins in the first round instead.
Speaking of those Colts, they lost a tough one, 26-24 to Pittsburgh. The Steelers have won six consecutive games versus the Indianapolis Colts,
which
is pretty dominating right there. Vinatieri obviously missing that kick, but the laces were showing it was a poor hold by Rigoberto Sanchez. Jacoby Brissett, obviously the story of the game with his MCL injury. He is a legit questionable to play against Miami. I would not play him against Miami.
No.
Because it's Miami. You will win against Miami with Brian Hoyer.
Miami's getting hot. So.
Yeah, they're getting so hot. We'll get into those Jets later. But I would not play Jacoby Brissett. Any thoughts on the Colts and the Steelers from you guys?
The Steelers are coming out to play despite, you know, all these injuries. Mike Tomlin's coaching for his job, and I was surprised to see they won considering how strong the Colts have been this year. But we'll see how it plays out.
I think they're starting. I mean, I think they're happy just because they're not losing a top five pick at this point anymore. Minka Fitzpatrick has been incredible.
He has been awesome. That is worth the deal. He's proved that was a good trade.
I think it's a little bit unsustainable.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But because some of the teams they've played, but at the end of the day, like I think this also proves goes to prove how good of a coach Mike Tomlin is.
Exactly.
And we've seen what happened to Le'Veon Bell and now Antonio Brown, where they've been before. Everyone said that the Steelers didn't know how to manage them, but maybe they did. And maybe Mike Tomlin knew exactly how to manage these guys, and you know, and they were bigger cancers than people thought. So yeah, it's I don't think they're a true contender or anything like that. I don't think Mason Rudolph is their future, but it's a good story for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, two teams that will be fighting for playoff positions in the AFC. Talk about one of the most disappointing teams in the NFL, the Chicago Bears, losing 22-14 to the Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz with a passing touchdown in 12 straight games. That's tied for the longest active streak in the NFL. I know what the conversation is going to be.
Well, actually, I will say this. I was just surprised the Eagles had them hang around that long. I mean, the first half of that game, the Bears had like one first down in the first like 27 minutes of the game. I couldn't believe that at the end of the game, the Bears actually had a chance.
Yeah.
Because the Eagles should have just stepped on their throats from the beginning. It also probably actually leaves me a little bit more concerned about the Eagles than anything, especially now that DeSean Jackson's going to be out with out the rest of the season. But yeah, I mean,
it's bad. It's bad for Mitch Trubisky. That was a rough.
I hate to go. This reminds me so much of Blake Bortles' third season in the league, where he was coming off of like a hyped year, and then just couldn't. I mean, it seems like Mitch Trubisky, and I feel bad for him because I think this is somewhat of a confidence thing. I truly don't think he has confidence in himself to throw the ball 10 plus yards down the field.
I agree.
I truly do not think he, like, I don't know if it's mechanics. I don't know what it is. But, I mean, here's the other thing. I thought trading Jordan Howard was a mistake in the offseason. They have no running game. And that's the other thing. They don't have a running game, and so they're forced to throw it a lot, which Mitch Trubisky isn't a guy who should be throwing it that much. So it's an all-around mess, and it goes to show you how quickly someone can turn from an offensive genius to and at the end of the day, I know we'll talk about something else later, but I think – you know, if there's any potential that in the offseason that Cam Newton is available, I think the Bears should be the first team that calls.
That would be a very interesting spot. Any thoughts on the Bears or the Eagles, Ryan Record?
They're sticking around like a turd that won't flush, man. Those Eagles.
Yeah.
Can't get rid of them, despite their injuries. You know, they got Nelson Aguilar. I'm not too worried about their long game. Carson Wentz has been neither here nor there, but their run game has been pretty solid ever since the addition of Jordan Howard.
It showed up for sure for the last 2 weeks.
In all honesty, I don't think that either the Cowboys, the Eagles are true contenders, but I still think the Eagles are a better team.
I agree, too. Yeah.
My fault obviously goes to the Bears. As Jimmy knows, I picked the Chicago Bears to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
What was that Super Bowl again? I truly can't remember.
It was a horrible prediction. Horrible prediction.
The Browns and the Bears?
Although I will say, I went back as soon as the episode and regret the Browns. I do not regret the Bears. They have been a huge disappointment, obviously. Yeah. No doubt about it.
And their defense
I think Matt Nagy's
going
to lose his job at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. I really do.
I think he should lose his job. I really don't think... In all honesty, like, if why shouldn't Ryan Pace lose his job, too?
I think Ryan Pace should lose his job as well.
But you know that's not going to happen, right?
Oh, yeah. General managers don't get fired.
Which is insane. I understand some of this is going to Nagy, but I think when you just don't have a competent quarterback.
I would fire both of them, really. That's what I would do. I would fire both of them.
I wish there was a way to keep Nagy, because like, it's so hard to show how good of a play caller you are when you have such, at this point, a limited quarterback. It's really easy to look like a genius.
He's had some horrible play calls, though.
It's really easy to look like a genius when players are executing plays.
Yeah, you know? Of course.
And so
it's a results-based business, though.
You know, yeah. I don't know if I'd like to give up on Nagy 2 years in. I think Ryan Pace is the guy who's on his, second or third head coach at this point?
Second, I want to say.
Second, because he was John Fox originally.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look good for the Bears.
Yeah. You want to talk about those New York Jets or the Miami Dolphins?
Can we stop talking about bad football?
The Dolphins, 26-18 over the Jets. The Dolphins with their first win since week 14 of 2018. How do you guys want to take this? You just want to move on quick? Do these teams even deserve our time.
They don't deserve our 2 cents.
No, I mean, good for the Dolphins. I think they play hard under Brian Flores. And
yes.
I think they put is anytime you have like a complete tank job, you put the coaches in a bad position because the coaches are trying to win every
right.
game. They don't care about, you know, so.
And this game was a
good,
huge slap
good for
in
them
the face.
To get the win because there's always a cloud that hangs over a team when they're winless, as Sebastian probably knows.
Very well.
I'm hoping that winless teams don't become more of a trend. Like, we've already had two in the last like 10 or 11 years. There's a reason there was only like one for a really long time. So, good for them for getting their first win, and the Jets are
Adam Gase, not looking too sharp, is he?
No, he's a one and done.
They're an abomination.
He's a one and done.
And I don't. And at this point, I mean, you have they traded Leonard Williams away. The whole Jamal Adams situation.
I think he'll get traded in this
Sam
offseason.
Darnold. I mean, who are they going to have? Like, who are their foundational pieces at this point?
Sam Darnold, and that's it.
And I don't even know if Sam Darnold is that good. But I also
we disagree on
but,
that.
But here's what like.
But we can agree probably, he's not played well at all.
He's not played well. But I also just I don't know if he's had a fair chance to play well.
I agree with that. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So it's just like, but to not even know, and if you trade Jamal Adams, I mean, you don't have. You're basically where the Dolphins are this season.
Yeah,
you know, just maybe with a quarterback. So
yeah, the Jets stink. There, no doubt about it. You said you want to talk about good football.
Oh yeah, man.
Well,
let's talk about some good football.
We'll get to Monday night. We'll talk about this Chiefs-Vikings game first.
That was a great game.
Good football right there.
Wow.
The Chiefs 26, the Vikings 23. Harrison Butker with the game-winning 44-yard field goal as time expired for the Chiefs. The Chiefs, man, very impressive without Mahomes to beat a top Minnesota Vikings
competing.
Defense.
Right.
That impressed me a lot.
Because their run game isn't as bad as people were saying it is.
Yeah.
And I think I think Butker had like a 57 or 58-yard field goal earlier
Butker
in the game.
Butker was on fire.
So he really helped him. I mean, Andy Reid is just a great play caller. And the Chiefs team has stepped up. So this makes me, you know, it's hard to evaluate the Vikings because they're on the road playing an interconference game. You know, the Vikings have still been really good this year, and I don't even think Kirk Cousins played that bad. I think they just had a few missed opportunities. But credit to the Chiefs, I thought they would lose.
I thought they'd lose
the last
too.
2 weeks, and then they haven't. So
yeah, they played well. Titans and the Panthers. Panthers win 30-20. Panthers, their first home win versus the Titans in franchise history. It's pretty impressive. Pretty stunning, too. Well, but obviously, that's not the story. Cam Newton, he is placed on injured reserve. His season is over.
Which
Kyle
means
Allen
stepping
will
up.
Be the starting quarterback the rest of the way, ideally for the Panthers.
Let's talk about Christian McCaffrey averaging through 9 weeks the most fantasy points of any
fantasy
player
football
ever.
Reference here.
Yeah. I think that's something you should add to the show.
I think he's the offensive – I'm not the offensive player of the year.
Really?
He's holding that team on his back, man.
Yeah, I would.
I would agree.
He's the best running back in the league, the best playmaker in the league, and really Kyle Allen hasn't played all that well, but he's relied.
No,
on,
he is not.
He's relied on
some rough ones lately.
He's relied on a really good defense and some weapons to bail him out, and so. But you know what? You got to win the games you're favored to win, and they beat the Titans. So.
What are the chances they go to backup quarterback Will Greer?
Not high.
I don't think so.
Not high.
If they didn't think Will Greer was ready when Cam Newton went down.
Yeah, it's not.
I mean,
a guy,
you know, Kyle Allen. I mean, was a guy who bounced around, already been on two NFL teams.
Yeah.
You know, so like, if they didn't think Will Greer was better than him, I'd doubt it.
Yeah, I agree. Time to talk about your Redskins, Ryan Record.
Ugh.
The Bills 24, the Redskins 9. The Buffalo defense allowed zero offensive touchdowns for the first time this season.
That's not hard against this Redskins team. I mean, the bright spot, did you see that AP play where he, like, shoved his man to the ground?
That.
Okay, that was really redeeming for me. I love that.
Well,
but other than that, atrocious.
This game was a lot closer than the score indicates throughout the game.
It was.
To me, it's just, like, for the Bills, and they're going to go through the stretch where they play nobody, basically.
We're next
it's,
of the nobodies.
I understand they're going to have a really good record, probably, but it's going to take a lot for me to be...
They're a lock to be at least 11 and 5.
They're not going to win their division because they play in the Patriots, but they're going to be a wild card. They need to show that they can move the ball offensively against bad teams.
Mm-hmm. Against good teams.
I mean, even against bad teams. I mean, they didn't. What was this game like? 13-9 going into the fourth quarter. I mean, something like, or 14-9. I mean, against the Eagles. I mean, you look at the good teams they played. Basically, we've really played the Patriots and the Eagles as good teams, and both of those games they couldn't do anything offensively. We'll see. I mean, they have a chance to do it. I mean, just getting in the race, you know, anything can happen. But I need to see more from the Bills. Their defense is obviously lights out. I don't worry about that. It's their offense that I worry about. But we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Bills are great. I think the Redskins are in trouble. When do you think the Redskins will be good again, Ryan Record? And do you believe in Dwayne Haskins as quarterback?
I like Dwayne, and the Redskins won't be good until Dan Schneider's gone.
Which is not going to happen.
Never. So they're 50s? Never going to be good, Seb.
Do you think Dwayne Haskins is on the Redskins next year?
I do not.
I think he goes to, like, the Steelers or someone.
I think he'll be traded somewhere.
Yeah. It stinks. And the thing is,
they failed them.
They keep. What was it? Bill Callahan was like, yeah. I'm not going to ever announce the starter until like 2 days before the, like, it's just. You might as well play Dwayne Haskins to see just. But the thing is, this is why when you have an interim coach, who is probably coaching for a job, like, he's not thinking, oh, what's in the best interest of the team. He's thinking what's in the best interest of himself. And it's just like, even if you don't like Haskins, you gotta play him and just see, because
Case Keenum's coming back soon. It'll be very interesting to see if Case Keenum regains his starting job.
I don't understand why you would play Case Keenum at this point. Like, I mean, he's not that good.
Lost season.
Why not?
Yeah, you know, because here's the thing. I don't know if Dwayne Haskins' trade value could go down anymore, so you might as well play him and hope that he starts to play better, that if you really don't like him, that somebody, you know, there's a little bit of mystique there. Because if you bench him at this point, and this is all he's shown, teams are going to be like,
Yeah, you're right. Moving on, Seahawks 40, Buccaneers 34. Russell Wilson for the Seahawks, 5 passing touchdowns, tying a career high for him. I was wrong about the Buccaneers. I'm very disappointed to admit that.
Arians didn't magically fix Jameis Winston.
He did not, and that means, and I'm done. I'm off the Jameis Winston bandwagon, 100% off.
I still think he's back there next year. Just because I think if you look at the options they may have, because I don't think Carolina is going to trade Cam Newton to the Buccaneers. Like, I mean, like, maybe
I
like,
think they might cut Cam Newton.
Maybe Mitch Trubisky is on the Buccaneers next year,
Bruce would resurrect Maserati Mitch back from the dead. That would be beautiful. Seahawks, any thoughts on them?
They picked up Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon, yep.
I like that move.
I like that move, too. I think Russell Wilson will get him straight. I love DK Metcalf. I think him and Lockett. Lockett will go back to the slot now.
I had my doubts about DK Metcalf, but what he's done so far, he's shown you.
You remember, I had him number one on my wide receivers.
Yeah, I had my doubts about him because he just, you know, didn't have any lateral. He doesn't seem like he still has great lateral quickness, but he's really good at what he does. So yeah, I was wrong about DK Metcalf.
Yeah,
so
he's played very well. Oakland Raiders 31, Detroit Lions 24. Josh Jacobs for the Raiders, most rushing yards by a rookie running back in Raiders team history.
That's my offensive rookie of the year right there, Josh Jacobs.
Ding, ding, ding.
I think the big thing is, in all honesty, I think Derek Carr this year has been a top 5 quarterback in the AFC.
You think he's resurrected his career?
He's played phenomenal.
When everybody left him out to dry?
He's played really well, and this is not the John Gruden fan club, but I think John Gruden has done a pretty good job on the offensive side of the ball. I think they still have a lot of work to do defensively. You know, it's almost like they could have picked like Josh Allen and had that pass rusher they're looking for. But you know what? That Bears pick, maybe a top 10 pick at this point.
Oh yeah.
So they have a chance, and maybe they'll be able to get that pass rusher they've been looking for. I don't know where you find one of those guys. but no, Derek Carr has played really well, especially, you know, when you lose Antonio Brown, a guy you thought was going to be a big part of your team, kind of with the, I don't want to say a cast of no-name guys, but for the most part, not a prolific offense, and then. I think their offense has played well, but and they have a chance to stay in it this week when they play the Chargers on Thursday night.
You know, my biggest pet peeve with coaches is, or just things in general, if you're an expert on one side of the ball and that side of the ball stinks, That is the Detroit Lions. Matt Patricia's defense stinks.
When Jim Caldwell was the coach, they had a good defense.
Yes,
actually.
Yeah. Yes. And they've regressed. No. I think Matt Patricia is one of the worst head coaches in football. They're going to keep him because he's got a great relationship with the front office. I don't think he should be there for much longer. I think they're doing a disservice to Matt Stafford.
Because, yeah, I think this has actually been one of Stafford's better years. Do you think Stafford will be there next year?
Yes, I do.
I do too, but like I think it would be interesting. There is an out after this year for his contract. If they want, he'd probably have some sort of trade value.
For sure. I think they'd get a good pick for him.
But I think they've invested a lot into this defense. Their defense still isn't that good.
Yeah. Time to talk about my Browns. Brandon Allen for the Broncos, 193 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions in his NFL debut.
Did you say
93?
Or
193.
Okay, 193.
Two touchdowns, 0 interceptions in his NFL debut. Broncos beat the Browns 24-19. I don't honestly want to talk about the Browns. I went on a rant solo last week about the Browns. I don't want to do this for every single week. They're a joke of a franchise. Their owner stinks. Their head coach is the worst head coach in football right now. Baker Mayfield stinks. Mac Wilson can't get the hell off Twitter. I'm done with the Browns. Season's over. Have a nice day. You two have a fun time talking about this game.
I think your problem, Seb, is you had expectations of them coming in 1 year after year. They always let you down. So wait for them to, like, you know, maybe be good for a year before you make these lofty expectations of going to the Super Bowl and whatnot.
You know, I think it's one of those everything that could go wrong has gone wrong.
Yeah.
Kind of scenarios. I'm still a believer in Baker Mayfield, but like it's one of those, like, it kind of feels like, I don't think as bad as the Haskins thing, but when everything is falling apart around you, it is hard to succeed. But the big thing is going to be if they fire Freddie Kitchens, Baker's going to have the recipe for why a lot of quarterbacks don't succeed when you're constantly changing head coaches.
Would you not fire Freddie Kitchens?
I mean, at this point, you know, like a couple weeks ago, I was on no.
Have to fire Freddie Kitchens. No, here's the thing.
Here's a question. Just listen for a second. Do you fire him midseason and have back-to-back seasons?
No, I would not fire him midseason. You know why I wouldn't fire him midseason? Because the Browns season is over and you need to lose out to get the better pick.
I'm telling you, they're gonna finish out like 5-3. I agree with you.
I told you they were gonna lose to the Broncos. They're gonna lose to the Bills next week, and then they're gonna finish 7-9. They're gonna beat the Steelers at home. They're gonna beat the Dolphins. They'll lose in Pittsburgh. They'll beat Cincinnati twice, and they'll beat Arizona. They have an easy cupcake schedule.
I mean,
it's gonna ruin their draft pick.
If there was any chance they were gonna make a run, you had to win this Broncos game.
People don't understand. They were, because of the easy schedule. When you're an undisciplined football team, it does not flip like that. It just does not flip the switch. I'm done talking about the Browns. It is not a healthy thing for me. Let's please move on to the Green Bay Packers losing to the Los Angeles Chargers 26-21. The Chargers, their first home win versus the Packers in franchise history.
Wait, I thought the Packers were at home.
They were at home and away. I mean, the absolute 85% Packer fans.
Yeah, it's
brutal.
Joke. Well, the Chargers could go to London now.
That's what they're saying.
Well, don't tell owner Dean Spanos that. Unless you want to get some F bombs dropped in your face.
he was promised that that LA would bring in so much money for the Chargers. So.
Yeah, and he was wrong. I don't think there's much. Packers just had a little bit of a blip. Chargers played well.
No West team
Coast,
in the
one
NFC,
of those like West Coast
North,
like,
yeah.
games. Like it, not, I don't think you can take much from
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I agree. Ravens, Patriots. Ravens dominate 37-20. Woo! Ravens are 11-0 at home in primetime since 2011. I gotta give Lamar credit. He did the one thing I said. I said perform well against a great team, and he performed well.
He's the first quarterback under 25 to beat the Patriots in like a decade.
Remarkable. Yeah, I have my doubts that he can sustain it due to injury, but in the way
he's still
performing,
he's still pretty good about getting down or having like soft contact. Honestly, it wasn't the most impressive Lamar game ever, but he played within himself.
Yeah.
And And overcoming, in fact, some of the Ravens' errors and having that muffed punt. I mean, you look at that game, it could have even been more blown open at one point. And, you know, I'm not saying this is going to continue to be the case as the season goes on. I still think the Patriots were the favorites in AFC. Yeah. But on that field, Lamar Jackson played better than Tom Brady did.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that game, definitely.
Yeah, and I think you have to at least... Whatever perception people had about the Ravens, they're at least at minimum true contenders at this point.
Yep. And finally, Monday night, Cowboys, Giants, 37-18. The Cowboys win. The Cowboys are now 9-1 versus the NFC East since 2018, and they're 6-8 versus all other teams since then. So that shows you, that backs up what Jimmy was saying earlier. That was the stat of the day for me. That they are below 500 against teams not from the NFC East since 2018. It shows they are a fake contender. They might win their division, but they are a phony, and they will not make any noise in the playoffs.
Right, and quite frankly, the score doesn't like show how bad of a game this really was for them.
Yeah.
They let the Giants stick around until the fourth quarter, which they should have stepped on their throat from the get-go.
Definitely.
No, I just, you know, at this point, like, they are who they are. Dak Prescott, he's pretty good, but he's not really good. He's not terrible either. And they also had a black cat run onto their field. So,
Doomsday. That was the story of the game. That had to be the story of the game. That was beautiful.
Did you see Kevin Harlan's call of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know I love me some Kevin Harlan.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal. Before we get into pick-ems, quick shout-out to Major League Baseball. They are using robot umpires for the minor leagues in 2020. I am so proud of the major
league. All the minor leagues? I don't.
No, it's some major league or some like minor league, pardon
me. The lower minors probably?
No, it's going to be every level for select games in the minor leagues.
Okay, gotcha.
So it's not going to be every game, but it's going to be select games.
Yeah,
they just announced
the fall
that.
League,
so. I'm so proud. We're going to get it by 2021. A robot umpire. It's what we need. Pick'ems. I went 7-3 last week, 65-30 overall. Jimmy's 35-15. And Ryan Record, you're making your first pick'ems of the year.
Oh, my goodness.
So let's get started. You have a layup to begin, Ohio State and Maryland.
Ohio State. Easy.
Ohio State.
Why even put this one on there, Seb?
Because we have to pick Maryland. They are the local team.
Can we do Towson instead? Like,
they're not if they're FBS... They're FCS, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
So, Penn State and Minnesota.
Penn State.
Minnesota hasn't played anyone real all year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Penn State will win that. Game of the week, Alabama-LSU.
Alabama.
Roll
That's a good
tide.
Matchup.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with LSU.
Ooh, why?
I just have a gut feeling about it, and you know LSU hasn't beat Alabama in 7 years.
Yeah,
but I think this is the time.
Eight years. They haven't won in their last past eight visits to Tuscaloosa.
No.
Wisconsin, Iowa.
Oof, Iowa.
I'm gonna go with Wisconsin. Jonathan Taylor has a big game.
I'm going with Wisconsin as well. And last but not least, Oklahoma, Iowa State.
Oklahoma.
I'm Oklahoma, yeah.
Oklahoma. That we will make that unanimous. Thursday night football, Los Angeles Chargers against the Oakland Raiders in Oakland.
The Raiders.
The Raiders.
Bringing out a W.
Yeah.
I'm going to disagree with both of you. I think the Chargers will win and get back to 500. Mm. All right. Another layup, Ravens at the Bengals.
The Ravens.
The Ravens.
Yeah, that's not going to be a fun game to watch at all, but that is the pick. Rams-Steelers in Pittsburgh.
I'm going Rams.
I want the Steelers to win, but the Rams.
Rams, we agree. Cowboys-Vikings.
That'll be the game of the week. That's a good one.
Vikings.
Cowboys.
All right, I'm going Cowboys. And Monday night, 49ers-Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Caw-caw. Seahawks.
Squaw.
Yeah.
Seahawks for both. I'm taking the Niners. And last but not least, who's winning college basketball this year? My apologies for not previewing that.
Kentucky.
Kentucky. I agree with Kentucky.
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Cole Anthony balling out. This has been the Benchwarmers Redemption. My name is Sebastian Merrick, and with me, like always,
Ryan Record
and Jeremy Seaman.
And until next time, peace, stay safe, and remember to love yourself.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.